I want to ask you guys a question. So while the Bibles are getting passed out, look at my eyes. Suzanne Sherwood, for heaven's sake, it's your wife. That's, you know you're a bad preacher when your wife won't even listen to you. I'm just saying. She does have a beautiful voice. Okay, but we could do that later. So let me say this. I know, that's two. My own family's betrayed me. Will you pull the knife out of there for me, please? Oh, thank you. Will you, Timo, hit the first slide? How many of you have purchased something that's been refurbished? Anybody purchase anything that's been refurbished? What's refurbished mean? I had a feeling. So let me tell you what refurbished means. Refurbished means in some way the product was defective. In one way or another, it was defective. It was taken back, returned to the store, and they repaired it, and then they put back up for sale. So if you buy something that's refurbished, you will save a considerable amount off the retail price. So, for example, let's just say you wanted to buy an iPhone, and an iPhone is $200 brand new out of the box. Let's just say, for example. Then a refurbished iPhone is one that's been returned to Apple. Aaron, zip it. Aaron. Cállate. He speaks English just like the rest of us. Don't go there. Anyway, how many of us don't speak? Anyway, we're moving forward. Lord, help us. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Here we go. A refurbished iPhone, then, is one that's been defective in some way. It was returned to the store. Apple then refurbished it. They, you know, if the crystal glass thing on top, the cover was broken, then they replaced that. If there was a defective circuit, they replaced that. If it was broken in some way, it was repaired and fixed. And then it was put back on sale. Anybody purchase a refurbished item? No, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. Jordan's like, I still don't really know. I'm there, but maybe I'm not there. Okay, so let me tell you to you a different way. Who among the adults has purchased a refurbished item? Okay. You've purchased a refurbished item? You have? What did you purchase that was refurbished?
A phone.
You purchased a phone that was refurbished. Mr. Nowak?
Several computers and several phones.
Several computers and several phones. Mrs. Madison, have you purchased? You purchased a refurbished washing machine. Anybody else? Any of the students over here? A refurbished item? No, the dollar store. Refurbished.
An iPod. An iPod.
He purchased a refurbished iPod. I'll hold the mic away further.
A desk.
A refurbished desk. Okay. What else? What else we got? What else we got? Wait, it's Tyler. Everybody say hi, Tyler.
My RC car.
He purchased a refurbished RC car. Okay, so you get the idea. Basically, the idea is it was broken and then fixed. Now, look at me right here. Ready for this? One more. We got to do one more. Justin wants to tell his refurbished story.
A plug-in to the TV paintball game system.
A plug-in to the TV paintball game system. A paintball game system. You get to shoot your television. Jesus, help us. So, look at me. Ready for this? Look at me. I am refurbished. I am refurbished. Let's pray. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Father God, we love you and we thank you for this night. We thank you for what you're going to begin to do in our hearts and minds. We pray, Jesus, that your spirit would come upon us and that these words wouldn't be my words, they'd be your words. Lord, that you would wash over us with your spirit and that you would help the Giants to win their playoff series. In Jesus' name, amen. There we go. Apparently I got some Giants fans. I'm just saying. There's Mr. Early. Everybody wave at Mr. Early. Mr. Early brought his Giants sweatshirt. There you go. Okay, so. So I am refurbished. Here's how I'm refurbished. Once upon a time, my life was full of sin and corruption, and I was doing stupid stuff all the time, and I was hurting people's feelings, and I was being idiotic, and I prayed, and I was forgiven and given new life. I was refurbished. I was refurbished. I was broken. As a husband, I was, let's just say, I was an idiot. I would do stuff that hurt my wife's feelings. I wasn't always kind. I didn't put her first. And God pretty much took his Holy Spirit hand and smacked me on the head, in a sense, and broke me down, okay? This is emotionally and spiritually broke me down. And then he refurbished me. He refurbished me. I have been refurbished. I want to tell you guys a story. Okay, you guys ready? Ready for the story. Once upon a time, God. It's a true story. Once upon a time, God. And once upon a time, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? God created the heavens and the earth. He's sitting in heaven, and he's bursting with love. I'm not making this up. He's absolutely bursting with love. And he makes a decision to share his love, and he creates the heavens and the earth, and he creates man. Puts man on the earth. Many of you know the man who started it all. His name was Adam. And Adam was soon to be a husband. His wife Eve was created. Adam and Eve then had many children, and the generations go on. I'm telling the story. Don't interrupt my story. It's a good story. Here's the story. Adam and Eve had many children. The generations go on, and eventually they come to a man. His name was Abram. Okay? Abram was a pretty good guy. And Abram lived in a land, and he hung out, and he got married, and things were pretty good for Abram. And God called him to do something. God called Abram to take off, to hit the road, to go somewhere. Abram's like, God, where am I going? And God's like, you're going to go where I tell you to go. Now get up and go. Abram's like, well, all right, you're God. So he packed up his stuff, and he went to a foreign land. His act of obedience was such a big deal to God that God blessed him and made what's called a covenant or a promise, or we might call it like a contract with Abram. It was a big deal. It was God saying, you're favored. You're important. This is a big deal. Abram had this contract with God, and it was such an important contract that God actually changed his name to Abraham. Okay, maybe you've heard of Abraham. Some of you might have heard of Abraham. In fact, there's even a song, Father Abraham had many sons. Don't sing it. Lord, help us. Jesus, be merciful. So, Abram had a son by a promise. A son of the promise, and his son of promise was called Isaac. Okay? Everybody look at me and say, Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. Isaac then had a son. His name was Jacob. And all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see people introducing themselves. Hi, my name is Joe, and I serve the God of Abraham and Isaac. And then later on, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? Some of you who've like paddled through the Old Testament with a rowing boat have picked up on that and seen where it says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are called the patriarchs. They're the fathers of a nation, okay? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I promise the story gets better. Just hold on with me. Just hang tight with me. It's going to get exciting, I promise. So, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob then had, get this, 12 sons. Say, whoa. Oh, my heavens. 12 sons. He had 12 sons. It's craziness. He had 12 sons. And God was pretty happy with Jacob. And one of his sons took the whole family off to Egypt. And we could get into that story, but we're not going to do that right now. But the 12 sons actually became pretty important because God made a little contract with Jacob also and changed Jacob's name. Ready for this? Jacob's name became Israel. Anybody ever heard of Israel? Yeah, it's this whole country. Maybe you heard of it. It's this whole country. So Israel Israel was then known as the father of a nation. He had 12 sons, and the 12 sons became leaders of their own families. Each son had his own family, and the family began to grow, and each son became like a tribal leader of his own family, and then there became the 12 tribes of Israel. Why are you telling me this, PC? I mean, really? Seriously? I'm getting there. Here's the thing. After a while, the 12 tribes of Israel, they go through some stuff. They endure 40 years in the desert, and then they get a king, and then they get really strong and powerful. Give me your best flex, like you're a muscle bodybuilder. You guys are like, I'm not even going to do that. Good flex. Some of you guys have got muscles. Woo! Baby. Don't touch him like that. Okay, so that was awesome. Some of you guys are like, I'm like Goofy. Have you ever seen Goofy? He flexes and his arm goes like this. And then he wiggles it and it goes. Anyway, I digress. I need this clear so I can walk backwards. Giant white guy. I could fall on you at any moment. Oh, she's never heard that before. Okay, so 12 tribes. Let me get back on track. Whoop. Okay, everybody make one bark like a dog. Ready, set, go. Okay, good. One, you guys don't know how to count very well. I'm just saying. So the 12 tribes of Israel, they get together, they form a nation. The nation is called Israel. They get really strong and powerful. They get all puffed up. They got a king. The king goes along. Things are good. They got a king. His name is David. They get really happy. And then David builds this huge kingdom, and he does a sin, and then he gets another wife, and then his wife has a son, and then he has a son, and he gets a king. King's really smart. His name is Solomon. Solomon grows the kingdom, builds the temple. Da-da-da-da-da. We have a huge nation, and they're terrorizing everyone. Say, okay, good. Then here's what happens. Ready for this? You guys, you're on your edge of your seats. Something horrible happens. That's awesome. You get a high five. And you too. No, you're not on the edge of your seat. You didn't even listen. Do you see that? Oh. Don't fall off. Okay, so listen. Here's what happens next. Watch this. The 12 tribes of Israel, they get so puffed up and so proud that they decide they don't need God. They do. They get so puffed up and so proud they decide they don't even need God. And then they start worshiping idols and they start living for themselves and they get all full of themselves. They leave God behind and God gets a little irritated. And then he sends an army to crush them. I'm totally serious. He did. He sent an army. He crushed them. Israelites are scattered and they're running away like small children. So here's what happens. The Israelites are spread all over the place. And there's this whole other country occupying their territory. And they're really sad. Make a sad sound for me. You guys are good at this. So they pray. We're praying now. They pray, Dear God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please restore our country. Amen. So they pray, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray. And pretty soon, watch this now, God restores them. He refurbishes Israel. Now it's said that, and this happens a few times, it's said that we as Christians resemble the nation of Israel. Anybody ever heard that? Just the adults. Okay, so students, young people, look at me. Ready for this? We as people, our lives resemble the history of the nation of Israel. We resemble them. Why? Because at some point in time, those of us who know Jesus, see, we had to make an obedient step of faith and say, I want Jesus in my life. And that wasn't that easy, but when we did that, we made a covenant with God, like Abram. And God rewarded us and favored us. And sometimes, some of us, we get kind of excited, and sometimes there's a bit of trial along the way, but we get excited, we get proud of ourselves, and we get puffed up, and then we sin. And then we go our own way. We do our own stuff, and we're really dumb for a while. And then we realize, what have I done? I'm in this place where I'm miserable, and I'm lonely, and I feel sad, and I need to be refurbished. And then we come to our senses a bit, and we realize, wait a minute, I serve a God who doesn't just love me yesterday, but he loves me today. And we pray, dear Jesus, please forgive me. And he refurbishes us. He restores us. He brings us back. He brings us back to that place where we can live for him again. Grab your Bibles and open up with me to Isaiah. Isaiah. It's near the middle, somewhere near the middle. Grab your Bibles. Come on, grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Isaiah, chapter 49. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. That's awesome. It's on the screen for your viewing pleasure. Chapter 49. What page is it on? 511? Six. Later, I'm going to get you. And I'm not going to remember why. That's an inside joke for my wife right there. Okay, so what page is it on?
511.
Stop it. 511? 511? 511? 511? 511? In the blue Bibles, it's page 511. Scott's like, it's on page iPod 1. Yes, praise Jesus. Don't tip that thing over. Okay, here we go. 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 You know, most of the time I don't mind if you're a little bit crazy, but right now I'm going to read the Word of God, and I would appreciate it if you weren't talking. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 9, chapter 49. Pardon me. Starting in verse 1. Here we go. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. Right away, who do you think is talking? Not Isaiah. Who do you think is talking? Whenever I ask you this question, there's only one answer. Who's talking?
Jesus.
Who's talking?
Jesus.
Who's talking?
Jesus.
How come these people get it and like the rest of you are completely absent from this? It's not complicated. Did you? Okay, I high five for you. Did you say it too? Okay. Yeah, but you can't say it like this. Jesus. Who's talking?
Jesus!
Amen. Good preaching, amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Good preaching, amen. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hands, and my reward is with my God. Amen? My reward is with my God. That's this whole other thing. I could preach on that too, but I'm not going to. Here we go. Chapter 49, verse 5. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord. Look at me for a minute, would you? Look at me for a minute, would you? Okay, clear out all the nonsense and look at me. Ready? If you're in Jesus, you are honored in the eyes of the Lord. Wait, don't make sounds. Just listen. Just hear. Just breathe for a minute. Absolute silence. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Jose. Michael. Look at me. You are honored in the eyes of the Lord. When you put your trust in Jesus, you are honored in the eyes of the Lord. All right, we're moving on. Honored in the eyes of the Lord. That's fantastic. I love that. You're honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. Verse 6, he says, Is it too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles. By the way, you're a Gentile, just so you know. Unless you're a Jew, you're a Gentile. So that's you, just in case you were wondering. That's you. You're a Gentile. Here you go. Middle of verse 6, I will make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. He says this, ready for this? To him who was despised and abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers. He's talking about his son Jesus here. He was abhorred by the nations. Talking about Jesus, and this is what he says about him. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see you and bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. And I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances. To say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Say amen. You see, here's the thing, ready? We all need to be restored from time to time. We are all broken, and we return to the manufacturer, and he puts his hand upon us, and he restores us, he redeems us, he squares us away. We are once again made new, made whole, made worthy. We are once again put in a place where when he looks on us, he sees us with favor. Who can rescue us in this way? I'm sorry. Can you say it again? I'm a little deaf in this ear. Oh, you're a little better at this now. Who can rescue us? That's right. King of kings and Lord of lords. Some of us, we're in this position where we need to be refurbished. And sometimes it's not simple. Sometimes it's complicated. Sometimes if your iPhone breaks, it takes them weeks to figure out what's wrong with it. They got to run diagnostics. They got to do this. They got to do that. They got to put it on a computer. They got to hook it up. They got to tear it all the way down to its basic circuits until there's just tiny little parts. And then they see one little thing that's wrong. And they replace that part. And they put it all back together. David said it this way, search me, O God, and know me. Search my heart, O God, and know me. Sometimes there's something going on within us that is broken, and it wreaks havoc. It messes up our relationships. It messes up the thing we got going on with our friends, with our parents, with our teachers, with the people that we love the most, our best friends. It ruins stuff. We get broken. We need to be refurbished. Just like Israel, we get prideful, we get lost, and things get messed up. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm not sure exactly what thing it is, but I know this much. Ready for this? We all walk with our own limp. We all got something inside us that's broken. We all got stuff going on that we don't want to talk about, the secrets that are buried in the depths of our soul, the things that we long for that we know we ought not long for, the things going on that we don't even want to talk about, because if we talked about it, then we would have to deal with it. And God's saying, come over here, my child. I will restore you. I will heal you. I will fix what's broken. Now, maybe it's just salvation. Maybe you just don't know Jesus at all. I don't know. Maybe that's the relationship that you need to restore. It's your relationship with God Almighty. Maybe you're in that place where you just want to give your heart to Him. Maybe it's a restoration of a relationship. Maybe you're just not at peace and you can't figure out why. No matter what you do, where you go, when you go to sleep at night, there's turmoil in your heart. There's just something churning in your spirit. Maybe you just don't have any joy. I'm going to play a video for you of a man who experienced it all, and at the same time, he had nothing. I want you to watch this.
So in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to accept Christ in front of everybody right now. Then I'm going to go home and snort drugs until I don't want to do them anymore. And that was my way of thinking. So I received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, and put her in front of the TV. I remember I grabbed a $100 bill. I always used a $100 bill for some reason, pride or something. I chopped up my crystal meth, got it all smooth and powdery, and I snorted a big old line. And I held the bill, and I looked up, and I said, Jesus, if you're real like that pastor said, then you got to take these drugs from me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. And I just got quiet. I said, search me right now. Search my heart. And I stayed silent. And I said, you know I want to quit. You know I want to be a good dad for this kid. She lost her mother to drugs. And she's going to lose me if I don't quit. Amen. There's a high when you go on stage and you see all these people like just loving your music and loving you and stuff. And there's these girls and all these people going, worshiping me. When you see all those people just going nuts for you, it's like, you know, it puffs you up inside. You're like, you know, I'm important. That's where drugs can creep in, and, you know, cocaine or whatever, methamphetamines crept in, and it all came from after drinking for me and my friends. And it seems like fun in the beginning. It's a lie, because it turns around on you. It starts to wear on your personality. It starts to wear on your relationships. And everything is affected by it negatively. Everything. There was a few times where life seemed good. My daughter, Janaea, she came into the world, and I was like, it was just such a euphoric feeling. I thought my life could just feel like that forever, you know? It was like it was spiritual. Just, I didn't know what was happening. I just felt so much love just fill my emotions. And I thought I was going to be happy, but I just couldn't. I couldn't stay sober. I didn't know how. I hit rock bottom. I had swore that I would never do methamphetamines again, because I saw what it did to my child's mother. It just took her feelings away and made her leave her kid. I just wanted her dead. I wanted to kill her. I thought she was a scum of the earth, and you know, how could she do drugs like that and let the drugs win her like that? So I never was going to do meth again. I ended up with a everyday crippling addiction to methamphetamine, and everything that I said about my ex-wife came true for me. I sunk to the lowest gutter I could ever think of. I would spend time with my kid, and I would still be on it because I needed it to function. I'd get up in the morning, have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and snort meth, and then take her to school or whatever. It was just, I was a junkie. I started losing my mind. This guy would show up at my house with like a gun and stuff. And then I ran out in Europe, had my drug dealer just crazy send me drugs through the mail. I'd be tweaked out in my hotel room watching this package come from the U.S. was just nuts. My life just was like spinning out of control. And Janae had come out on one of the tours in the U.S. I just remember her skipping around the house singing one of our corn songs called Adidas.
All day I dream about sex.
And I'm like going, what am I doing? I'm a junkie. My daughter's singing All Day I Dream About Sex. And I'm going to die. Father? My real estate broker, Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture, like, jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I remember all tweaked out. I looked up in the dictionary, weary. I looked up burdened, and I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, oh, I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul. And I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I had received Christ at the church. I went home, neglected my daughter, got it all smooth and powdery. Jesus, you got to take these drugs from me. Search me right now. Search my heart. Father, I felt so much fatherly love from heaven, and it was like, I don't condemn you, I love you, I love you. It was just love, and instantly that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs, and I quit corn. I was like, I'm quitting corn, and I'm going to raise my kid, because my kid, like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that, and I was like, Janae, Daddy's going to be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up, and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special, and God used her to save me, to save her life later on. My dream came true way more than I dreamt about. I made more money. I played bigger shows. I mean, houses, cars. I tried drugs. I tried sex. I tried everything to try to get pleasure out of this life. And I thought that I could fulfill my life with all this stuff by having my dream come true. And it came true. But it didn't fulfill it. When Christ came in, that feeling, he gives you the gift of understanding life, which is everything was created for Christ and by him, and we're created to be with him. And it's the most incredible feeling, because you're where you belong, and contentment is given to you in life because you don't have to look anywhere else, and you're exactly where you need to be, and the question about life is answered. I'm Brian Head Welch, and I am second.
Brian, you came to realize something. He's broken. He's broken. And there's only one way to get fixed. Trusted Jesus. Pretty amazing testimony. Pretty phenomenal. What I want to do now is, if you adults would kind of stand around the outside here of this group, what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And some of us were more broken than others. Some of us, we need to be refurbished. And I'm telling you right now, it says in James, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. Look up here at me. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed, restored, refurbished, made new again. We could turn off the overhead lights for a minute. I want to give you an opportunity to pray with you. Some of you guys know, you know these leaders. Maybe you don't know these leaders, but it doesn't matter, because what you need is you need an opportunity to confess your sins with somebody and pray with them that you may be healed. Here's an opportunity to do one of two things. You can walk out of this room and be the same as the way you came in. Or you can pray with somebody. You have an opportunity to connect with somebody and connect with the God who spoke existence into being with the power of his words. His promise is, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Here's an opportunity to be healed. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. Healing could be having a first-time relationship with Jesus, and maybe that's what you need. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. If that's you, I want you to look at me right now. Is that true for you? It's a question, girls. Look at me. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to do that right now, if that's what you want, look at me. Is that why you're looking at me? And you? Yeah? Or no? If that's you, look at me. Okay. You want to make Jesus Lord of your life? To live for him? Forever and ever? Okay, good. Is that you? Okay. Is that you? Okay. And you? Yeah? And you? Praise the Lord. Okay, you can put your heads down. If you looked up at me and you nodded, you either come to me or you come to one of the other adults and you tell them, I want to accept Jesus tonight. And these adults, they'll pray with you. They'll connect you with Jesus Christ, the one who spoke existence into being. Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you so much for what's going on. We humbly come to you, thanking you for your promises, thanking you for your word, thanking you that you are faithful. Thanking you so much, Lord, that we can come broken and lost, without a hope, without a prayer, with nothing in our hands, nothing to offer you, nothing to return, and yet we can come to you and say, Lord, forgive me, heal me. And your love, just like Brian said, your love, that love will come upon us. We will recognize you as Lord and Savior. We declare you are our Lord. So be with us tonight. We pray in Jesus' mighty name.